Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Warrior's Word with Wisconsin Lutheran College head football coach Dennis Miller. The Warrior's Word is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Wisconsin Lutheran coach questions about the Warriors, football or sports in general, or just seek Coach Miller's wisdom about life events that are going on out there. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the disappointing performance against Benedictine and what he's expecting against Lakeland this weekend. He talks a little Division I college football with us. And is the coach as competitive off the field as he is on? Let's find out on The Warrior's Word. Well, let's welcome back Coach Miller. Coach, do you have any team updates for us?
We came out of the game reasonably healthy. So in terms of just the ability to move forward and continue to grow and get better and so on, we're not being impeded by injury. So I feel good about that portion of where we're at right now.
Well, let's talk about this last week's game against Benedictine. You fall down by 17, but you pull back within three before they get a late touchdown to kind of hold on to the win. What were your thoughts on the game?
Well, I think I think it's reminiscent a little bit of the Eureka game in that we got down early and dug ourselves a hole, but we came back hard and fought hard. It's just that, you know, when you do that against a good football team, it's really an uphill battle, and that was again the situation on Saturday. I do think, however, the backbreaker on Saturday was when we were really basically bringing the game back in our direction. They had a kickoff return for a touchdown, and that was really a hard one, and causes some real concern. But we fought hard, played hard, just came up short.
This was a contest where you'd fallen behind at 20 to nothing early in the second quarter. It's been kind of the starts to games recently that have kind of stood in the way of you guys having better success. Are there things that you look at that you can address about how to turn that around?
Well, there are things, and we definitely talk about it, and we try to practice that way. We came out today in our practice and started in a period of practice that normally is towards the middle to end of practice, and a very physical period to start the game start the practice. And I think if we can impress upon them the importance of, whether it's a practice session or a game, is that you're ready to go when the bell goes off, we think that's going to make a difference. So today was a great practice with that specific thing in mind that we were working on addressing.
Who were your players of the game?
Our offensive player of the game was J.K. Witkowski. He's one of our captains, and he's a player that he's the guy that no matter what you ask him to do, what position you ask him to play, what role he needs to serve on a particular game, he's going to do it, and he's going to do it at the highest level. And he had a very good game and took back a screen pass, perimeter screen pass, running through a couple of arm tackles and got us a touchdown at a very important point in the game. So he was the offensive player of the game. The defensive player of the game was a senior outside backer, Matt Goodell. Just really played an all-around great defensive football game. Had 13 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, and a real motivational, emotional player for us. So he did a really good job. And then our special teams player of the week was Jody Stasinski, and he had 3 individual tackles on special teams, but really, I think the reason he was illuminated as the player of the game was just his overall hustle attitude, like this is how you play special teams. So all 3 of those guys, very deserving of it.
This week you take on Lakeland. They've struggled early this season. What are your thoughts about what it will take to pull this game out?
Well, Lakeland is, they're the defending champion of our league, and they play with a lot of confidence and they know how to win. So, we know that we're going to be in for a battle with them. We're excited about playing them at home. And I think we have a good rivalry going with them. So I just think it's going to be a very good college football game, and I'm excited about getting playing again.
Their quarterbacks have been struggling at Lakeland so far this season. Does this make it so that you want to focus more on Larry Rivers and their running game, or you don't kind of get yourself set up that way?
Yeah, I think it's fool's gold to get too excited about, maximizing one thing necessarily over the other. They had a four-year starter, great player at quarterback, and it's taken them a little time to decide on what they want to do at that spot. But every week they're getting better, as evidenced by statistics and watching them on film. So I think if you're going to play Lakeland and be successful against them, you just got to be aware of all of the weapons they have offensively, and they have many of them, and just play a good defensive football game against them.
Well, let's head to our fan questions this week. We start with Lisa, who says, Coach, the Knack is so upside down this season. What is going on?
I'm not sure if she's referring to the fact that Lakeland is not winning, or I'm not sure exactly what the question specifically means, but I think it's a very competitive conference season right now. I look at our football team, and I believe we're a good football team. We haven't won the games that we're capable of winning, and Eureka's new to the league, and they've done a nice job. Concordia, Mequon has, suffered last year because of an injury at a critical position, and that hurt them last year, but now they've got things going on all cylinders. So I just think it's a very competitive league, and I think it's going to go literally down to the last week of the season to determine the champion.
Denise would like to know, who are players on your team that you really admire, the kind of young men that they have become?
Well, I think that's one of the great parts of coaching college football is when you get guys at 18 years of age, the maturity that they experience from 18 to 22 is really something. I think there's too many for me to point out, but I will say the kids that I admire so much are the players that are not getting a lot of snaps offensively, defensively, but they stay. They don't quit. They don't lose interest. They don't lose their desire, and they just continue to be great teammates and great players. You know, I look at so many of those kids, and those are probably the ones, if I had to pick kids that I admire the most, it would be those that don't get all the accolades all the time, but, man, they're there for you every step of the way, and they're ready to do whatever's asked.
Yeah, I always love a line that Coach Johnson, your friend, will say is that when he grows up, there are a lot of his players that he hopes that he grows up to be like them. So,
that's exactly right. I share that sentiment.
We head on to Chris, who says, was there really anything to be excited about winning by 3 over the 49ers? They stink. I guess he's talking about the Packers' victory there.
Well, it's hard to win football games. So I think what you're excited about is they won. You know, there's that coaching saying that you know you're a good football team when you're winning games that you don't play particularly well. And I think that the Packers didn't play particularly well for a lot of that game, but they were able to pull it out in the end. And, you know, I thought it was very gratifying that Mason Crosby was as successful as he was, and I particularly enjoyed his interview after the game where he was even a little emotional about it. And, you know, that is cool to me because he's a long-term veteran that's made a lot of important kicks in his career. But you know that overcoming the nightmare of that week before game was important to him. And so I think it's a great win for the Packers.
Next up is Phil. He says, I think fans act really stupid at sporting events sometimes. I agree with Tyreek Hill that those fans that threw beer on him should be prosecuted. That is just stupid.
Well, I think the idea that if I pay a ticket, I can say and do and act any way I want when I go into a stadium is wrong. It's just not the right way to act in general. You wouldn't act that way, I don't think, in a business or on a street corner. So I agree. I think it's out of bounds to do those sorts of things. I can personally tell you I've had beer poured on me at a football game one time, and I wasn't very excited about it.
Wow, we'll have to hear that story sometime.
Daniel, I'll be glad to share it with you.
Daniel says, every year I watch ESPN and others rate a recruiting class saying Alabama or whoever has the top class. That seems like guesswork to me. Do you as a coach have a feeling about who had a top class in your conference by who they recruited, and do you even pay attention to that?
Well, I think the real proof in a recruiting class is born out in 2 or 3 years after you've recruited them. I think everybody knows that, you know, if I was recruiting a particular player and we didn't get him and somebody else got him and we thought very highly of him, that kid, it would be, a memory to me thinking, okay, that team got a really good player. But I think it's really hard to judge recruiting classes, even at the Division I level where everybody's got a star ranking and that sort of thing, because it's a different game in college than it is in high school, and I think you really find out things about people 2 or 3 years down the road.
Our next question comes from Tim. He says, do you think anyone outside the top four in college football breaks through? I feel like Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Clemson should coast at this point.
You know, they're all in a pretty good position. Clearly, Alabama is the class of college football. I think everybody else is, you know, kind of playing for second place, but it looks like those four teams have positioned themselves, unless there's an upset, which there were plenty of last week, but unless there's an upset, that's probably who you're going to see in the championship series.
Speaking of upsets, Tim would also like to know, I would also like to ask you why you think that it is that a team like West Virginia falls at a place like Iowa State. They clearly are the better team according to the polls, but still lose. What do coaches get that fans don't?
Well, one thing coaches get is, I think every coach tends to have a level of optimism about their football team and what they're capable of doing more than the average fan does, because they're watching film and they're paying close attention to all kinds of things that the fans don't see. I think Iowa State right now, as you know, we're talking about that particular game, they kind of have the image of being the giant killers every year. They have a big win over somebody that, quote-unquote, they have no business beating. I just think there's a lot of parity in college football, and on any given Saturday, anybody can rise up, and every week that seems to show itself.
Is it sometimes a case, too, where no matter how good a team is, they just don't match up well against a particular opponent just because of the style of play that team has?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's – that's one thing that I don't think the average fan or even really as somebody that pays close attention, matchups are the whole deal. And some teams simply don't match up well against other teams and what other teams do, even though on paper they look like they should easily have a winning game against them.
Next up, we have a few questions from Deb. I honestly wondered if she knew you, so we'll start out with, what is the craziest question someone ever asked you on an interview?
Oh, man. I've had some funny ones over the years. At the moment, they were hilarious, and now I've forgotten some of them, but the one that always stands out to me is somebody asked me if I really liked football, and I would assume that they would know that I really did like football, but that was a question that someone asked one time, and I think I was polite, but I definitely chuckled when they asked it.
Deb would also like to know, have you ever lied about your age?
No, I haven't. I would love to, on any given day, lie about my age, but no, I have not. I've owned up to it all the time.
And our last question is, what is a quote that you try to live by?
Oh, you know, there's a lot of quotes. I've got a funny, it makes me laugh because when you deal with 18 to 20-year-old kids, they're going to do a lot of things that just don't make any sense. And I've got a quote in my office from John Wayne, actually, that says, life is tough. It's tougher if you're stupid. every once in a while, I'll point that out to the players that are in my office because of doing something stupid. But I think probably my favorite quote is a Bible verse, that it, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work for good for those who love God, and I'm, you know, paraphrasing right there, but that one means a lot to me.
That's a good verse to live by. Charles says, it's Halloween time, Coach. Scariest movie of all time?
You know, I don't watch scary movies. I don't like scary movies because they scare me. So I don't watch them. When I was a little kid, and I'm sure if I watched it now, it would just make me laugh because of how it was made. But I watched an Alfred Hitchcock movie called The Birds, and it just scared the living daylights out of me. And I just don't like scary movies, so I don't watch them.
I don't blame you for that. A couple of questions from Joe. The first one is, how do you address people who always seem so caught up in the end times and when God is returning?
You know, I'm not, I can't honestly tell you that I've ever had a conversation with anybody about that. So don't really have an opinion on that one.
Joe says, with that being asked, if the world had gone into complete chaos and you were forced to go to a shelter to hide out, what are three things you would take with you?
Wow, that is quite a question. Let's see. I would take my family, number one. I would take a gun if there was all kinds of chaos going around, just for a little bit of protection. And I'd probably take the Bible just to read and comfort myself and my family.
Ben would like to know, are you a super competitive guy away from the football field? Do you go for the throat in Monopoly or Gin Rummy if you actually had time to play those games?
You know, my wife tells me I am probably. I don't love quality about myself outside of football sometimes, but it's kind of the world I've lived in for my whole life, so I probably carry it outside of football a little bit.
And what are we praising the Lord about this week, Coach?
You know, I'm praising the Lord specifically today. You know, we've had a couple of tough games, and my guys, the players, come back to work hard every day with a good attitude, and I am very thankful and praising the Lord for that. That means a lot to me, and it says a lot about their character, and that makes me feel real good about my football team.
That's excellent. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
We want to thank Coach Miller for joining us on The Warrior's Word. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Wisconsin Lutheran coach, please send them to us at DennisMiller@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's DennisMiller@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Monday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Support, and we'll see you next time on The Warrior's Word.